This morning's scripture comes from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn on my mic. Many of you know that though I was born in America, I've spent most of my life in Canada after our family moved there when I was a toddler. So until I actually became a Canadian citizen as an adult, I was the only one in my family that was considered an immigrant whenever we returned home to Canada. At the same time, it meant that I was the only one in my family who also carried one of these, a U.S. passport. This gave me a unique experience whenever I entered into the United States for our regular cross-border vacations and shopping. Because every time we'd enter into the United States, the border agents would say, "Welcome home," even though I've never lived here. That declaration each time, though, did something. It reinforced this idea, for me at least, that I had some privileges and responsibilities that I understood as an American citizen. And though some may dispute its value now, I did carry this passport that was generally respected when I traveled abroad and technically had the backing of the U.S. State Department. I could also vote. And as a teenager who was inspired by Top Gun and things that go fast, I thought I could actually join the American Air Force, at least on paper. Knowing that though these things kind of came over time growing up, knowing that I was an American citizen conferred this sense of confidence when I traveled. Whether that confidence was warranted, it's still to be determined. But it wasn't really until I moved to live in America that I really owned my citizenship. Until I physically moved here, I had never voted in an American election of any form, and my citizenship was simply on paper and conceptual. See, in many ways, living as a child of God can be the same way. When we respond to God's grace and we put our faith in Christ, we realize that we are adopted into God's family. We become citizens of God's kingdom. But for many of us, though we may be aware of these privileges and responsibilities of being God's child, we often don't step in to appropriate them. We don't steward them as God invites us to. In today's text from Ephesians chapter 1, we turn our attention to what it means to steward the many blessings that are available to us as God's children. We're going to look at what it means to live as owners, not renters, when it comes to God's blessings. We're going to look at what it means to own our blessings, to steward our blessings, and to worship with our blessings. Now, throughout this passage in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, you can kind of tell that he is effusive in his desire for the Ephesian church to realize that what they have available to them because they are in Christ. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ, God's daughters and sons have all the rights and privileges of belonging to God. Just think about that. And think about the tense of this sentence. God has blessed us in the heavenly realm, has blessed us. It's past tense. With every spiritual, blessing, period, in Christ, full stop. Own God's blessings for you. Don't just rent them. That's the first point for us to take home today. Too often we go about life renting God's blessings. We hold on to them until something better comes along. Or we rent God's blessings not knowing if they're going to be taken away, so we aren't secure in them. Now, some of you who have been following along this sermon series might be thinking, hey, Andrew, you've been telling us that God owns everything. We actually just sang about it too, right? So what does this mean if God owns everything, and how do we own something and not rent it? What's the deal here? So let me just say, yes, God owns everything. But God has entrusted everything to us in Christ. And too often, we don't appropriate what is already ours in Christ. What is ours? Every, period, spiritual, period, blessing, period, in Christ, full stop. But here's the thing. We Americans, or maybe it's probably just a human thing, we're pretty good at interpreting blessing on our terms. We think owning God's blessing looks a particular way, and then probably in America it means comfort and upward mobility and success and riches. But the blessing that God gives us is what is available in Christ. What are these spiritual blessings? Well, first of all, they are not merely material and relational blessings. These texts are not the rationale behind a name it and claim it spirituality where we just, the God that we pray to becomes some genie that we invoke for what is really our blessing standard. See, when we approach God that way, what we're actually doing is we're acting as God, and we just happen to be praying to God to ask for things that we actually want and want to do. But these spiritual blessings aren't that, but they're not material and relational, but these are also not some blessings that are available in heaven after we die. And these blessings are also not just spiritual gifts like 1 Corinthians 12, although those are spiritual gifts and we should enjoy those things. Instead, this expression refers to all that God's Spirit has given to us to enable a flourishing life. Spiritual blessings are all that God gives to us to enable a life with God. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is all of the abundant life of God that is available to you and to me. These spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm are available to us now. And this emphasizes the present enjoyment of God's gifts, not a later one. The idea of heaven being this physical place of blessing that we are trying to get to someday and enjoying life with God then isn't really a view of these New Testament readers. This kind of view of heaven and enjoying this kind of relationship with God is actually a relatively modern invention in the history of the church. Being blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing isn't really about a physical place. It's more about a present spiritual reality. It's more an orientation towards enjoying our present life with God. It's like the idea of being a citizen that I mentioned earlier, or like the idea of having health insurance. When we know this is available to us, it changes our orientation in how we approach life. Now, if you've ever had to go without health insurance, or you've had a not-so-good health insurance plan, you'll find yourself calculating whether your sickness is worth going to see the doctor and whether you have things that you can afford to pay for or not. But when you know you have a good insurance plan and that everything's covered, you live life differently, right? You know you don't have to worry about it. The bill's paid for. You're not walking around on eggshells in life worrying about getting sick and whether you're going to be able to afford to get better from being sick. Unfortunately, that's a reality for a lot of our population. As Paul continues in verses 7 to 9, the spiritual blessings of Christ are grounded in Christ. There he repeats, in Christ we are loved, in Christ we are redeemed, in Christ we are, our sins are forgiven, in Christ God's will is made known to us. And when we appropriate these realities in Jesus, it changes how we live and move. We don't have to be afraid. We find ourselves secure. We belong. To be in Christ, really, it means to be at home with God. And when we recognize this, when we appropriate this, this reality spills over into every corner of our lives. Own God's blessings for you. As God's children in Christ, we own a rich inheritance that is already coming to us. But do we actually live like that? Because we often live with this anxiety and fear and a sense of loneliness, because deep down what's happening is we doubt that God is really that good. And we doubt that God really wants to give us all that he has made available in Christ. And maybe that's the first step for some of us here today that are listening. And that's something for you to own and to appropriate. You truly are blessed by God in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is available to you when we become God's children. Will you own just even that? And maybe for some of us, it's saying yes to Jesus to be the leader of our lives. Maybe it's stepping through the waters of baptism. We're planning that next month. Maybe it's you've believed it, but you don't live like it's real. Own our blessing in Christ. And this leads to the second point about being owners, not renters of God's blessing. We are more than just named beneficiaries on some spiritual insurance policy. We, as owners, we actually have full rights to share with others the benefits that we enjoy now. What exactly does that look like? It still kind of sounds high level, right? I know we've been kind of staying up there. So as we've been learning in this series so far, the idea of stewardship not only includes the idea that everything belongs to God, but also that there is a purpose for all that God does. It's not that just God owns it, but God is doing something with everything in the world. In this text, we are reminded of one important purpose of God's will. Take a look at verse 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. You can skip toward the end. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. The living God purposes to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Here's the thing to take away. Purpose frames our priorities. Purpose frames our priorities. And God's purpose is meant to inform and frame our priorities. So if God's purpose is to bring all things in heaven and earth into unity under Christ, then this purpose is meant to inform our priorities. As inheritors of all that Christ has, we can view every part of our lives as being part of this inheritance that God has given to us. As owners of this inheritance, we actually have a greater responsibility and a greater accountability to God for all that we do with the resources that God has given to us. They are not merely for us to use at our whim. So here are a few practical areas for us to steward God's inheritance and to share generously with others. There'll be a quick list, but we can, number one, steward our material blessings. So our finances are often the most tangible expression of that. And while the idea of stewardship is not limited to financial and material resources, it does include them. So as stewards, we can budget wisely. we can plan and track our spending to see, are we actually living in a way that says that this is important to us, in ways that honor God and God's purposes in creation? And part of that, as Rebecca just reminded us, is giving of our tithes and giving generously to others by regularly contributing to our faith community, whether it's WCF or another place that you've plugged into, giving towards charitable causes. This reflects a heart of generosity because we've come to recognize God's generosity towards us. Budget, tithe, avoid debt. Living within our means. Avoid unnecessary debt. Don't avoid debt completely, but there's a wise, but being, we are mindful of the resources that God has provided to us. You know, our financial and material resources don't merely serve our comfort or our upward mobility or for our retirements or for our vacation plans. God gives them to us to reveal God's good work in the world. What does your budget say about what's important to you? How does that align with God's purposes of bringing all things in heaven and earth into unity under Christ? For some of us, maybe that's one step. It's for us is simply to audit our spending. I know many of us are responsible. We pay off our credit cards, but it's so easy to click shop. Does our spending actually reflect what we say is important to us? Over the years, Julie and I have committed to giving more and more of our money away. We have to go back and look at our spending to make sure we're actually doing what we say we want to do. And though we've never had large or luxurious homes, we've asked God to how we can share our space with those in need. This has led us to host people regularly. We've fostered a couple of children. We've most recently hosted a migrant family that has been seeking asylum in America. We are trying, by God's grace, to share what God has given to us. Steward your material resources. Secondly, steward your opportunities. These opportunities come in the form of time and talent and skills. When we look at our schedules, you don't own your schedule, but you can own it in light of God. God owns your time. So allocate your time in ways that reflect God's work in the world and in your life. This is grounded in prioritizing spiritual practices that nurture our relationship with God, with God's people, and with serving others, in addition to, of course, working and providing for your family and being with your family. And part of allocating your schedule, at least we find in Scripture, is practicing Sabbath rest. Build regular rhythms for rest and renewal in your life, recognizing the importance of Sabbath in maintaining a healthy balance in life. In the creation account, God made everything. He worked for 6 days, and he rested for one. What makes you think that you can do better than God? When it comes to work, especially. Steward our opportunities in time, but also in our skills and talents. We believe that every person has been given something by God, and to use that to serve God and to serve others. And we can all not only just use it, but we can develop it, seek to improve and develop our skills, striving for excellence in all that we see. Third, we can steward the environment. We can care for our creation. You know, in our highly mechanized, individualistic, plastic packaged world, it's easy to overlook the impacts of our consumption. But by stewarding our environment, we can pay attention to how what we consume and how what we use impacts the world around us. And I know we can't do this for every single item in our lives, but I invite you to consider, start with one thing. Maybe it's your meat that you consume. Maybe it's the vegetables and where you get them from. Or where do you get your electricity from? How does that get generated? How much do you drive and fly? And as you trace where that comes from and where what natural resources it impacts, we can make some deliberate choices to reduce our impact on the environment. We can also steward the environment by appreciating just being outside in nature. Spend time in nature because it connects us to the world that we live in. And it cultivates a sense of wonder and gratitude for all that God has given to us. Lastly, so steward our material possessions, steward our opportunities, steward our environment. Lastly, steward our health, whether it's relational or mental or physical. Nurture our relationships and invest time to build and maintain healthy relationships with family and friends and community. Do it in person as well as online. Don't just really rely online. Look for opportunities to show love and compassion as Christ has shown to us. We can also practice forgiveness and reconciliation. How often do we think about that in our relationships? To reflect God's grace and character towards us. Steward our relationships, but also steward our material and our physical and emotional and mental health. God has given you a body. We might not think the greatest about our bodies, but God has given to them for us to take care of through diet, through exercise, and rest. Recognize our mental and emotional health as well, through prayer, through meditation, through getting professional help whenever needed. These are all parts of our lives that God has given to us. They're gifts to us that we can steward. And so I wonder, what's one area of your life that the Spirit of God might be inviting you to attend to a little more today? Everything we have comes from God, and that's the fundamental orientation for Jesus followers. So faithful stewardship takes discernment. We aren't meant to do this alone. Ask trusted friends and wise leaders to speak into these areas. Maybe bring up one of these areas to share and discuss with your small group sometime. Invite them into a conversation of what it looks like for you and your family to steward your opportunities, your financial resources, your health, and steward the environment. And I invite you to question this default storyline of our wider culture of independent and isolated management of our resources. Purpose informs our priorities. What purpose informs your priorities? Your spending, where you allocate your resources. God's purpose to reveal Christ to us is so that everything in heaven and earth might be brought into unity under Jesus. But there's actually an even higher level purpose for all of this. God's blessing for us as for the children of God serves an even greater purpose. Yes, for God's children to enjoy. Yes, for Jesus' followers to share with others. Yes, to bring unity for all things under heaven and earth, under Christ. Yes, to participate with God in unfolding God's goodness in the world. These are all purposes for us to do. But all of this activity is meant to be pointing to this ultimate purpose of God for all of humanity and for all of creation. What is this ultimate purpose? Paul repeats it 4 times in this text alone. Verse 3, praise be to God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. 12, in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Is it clear? Everything in heaven and earth exists to bring praise and glory to God. We exist to give praise and glory to God. Paul's is simply reinforcing a key theme that we find throughout Scripture. Over and over again, we find that everything that God does is intended to bring praise and glory to God. To praise and to give glory means to focus attention on, to magnify, or to show off. Now, I get it. No one likes show-offs. and narcissists. And you don't have to scroll too far in your social media to find good examples of those people. But if the living God really is the supreme being of the universe, then God's perfect goodness, God's perfect holiness and love and justice, these are all inherently designed to be worshipped, to be the object of worship and attention comes with the definition of being God. And if it doesn't, then that's not really a God worth worshiping. And it's only infallible and selfish humans who attempt to be God or to play God that muddle that up for us who are instinctively wired to worship something. So though some of us might be skeptical towards imposter gods, and that's understandable, we should not impose that skepticism on the living God of Scripture if he is truly God. In his formative book, The Divine Conspiracy, spiritual writer Dallas Willard says this: the aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with God himself at the very center as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. Praising and glorifying God isn't just an activity. It's not just something we do for three songs. It's not just something we do when we come to church. Praising and worshiping God is an orientation. It's in fact meant to be a fundamental orientation for life. It's what humans are designed for. The way that we live and relate to others and in this present life and to God and to the world around us is meant to show off God's character and will as the most glorious inhabitant at the center of the universe, as Dallas Willard puts it. When people place their trust in Jesus, we find that we are given the capacity to live for and to worship and praise God in ways that we are unable to do on our own because of something called sin. See, sin distorts our purpose. Sin distorts our purpose. Sin deceives us into good enough when God is inviting us to ultimate good found in Christ. When we are in Christ, we are given the capacity and resources to live as God has designed us to live. And that's what it means to follow Christ. Now, it may look different in different cultures and in different seasons of our lives, but what we have been given is every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is what God invites us to own and to appropriate for ourselves. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do we own God's blessings, or do we just rent them? Do we just rent them when we need them and pass them on? In her book, 1,000 Gifts, Anne Voskamp links praise and gratitude to recognizing these blessings by saying, the only way to live fully is to live in praise and thanksgiving, recognizing every good gift as being from above. The only way to live fully, to fully ourselves, fully human, is to live in praise and adoration of the one who gives us these gifts. What part of your life might Jesus be inviting you to recognize as being a good gift from above that you've held on to for yourself? What part of your life might you recognize as a good gift from above so that you might live in praise and thanksgiving to the living God? We are invited to own, not rent, every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are to steward them as if they were our own, but we share them generously as if they were not. We share them and we talk about them, not so we can look good before others, but so God can be seen by others. This is how we live a full and satisfying life, when we steward the gifts that God gives us in Christ to bring attention to the living God of the universe. So friends, may we do this boldly and generously and with open hands, just as Jesus did for us. Amen.